This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
17-3 Dallas. There's a delayed blitz tipped up in the air. Intercepted on the deflection by Parsons. The interception grabbed by Eric Kendricks.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Shakerton's in Arlington. And right now, we bring to you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Now, I know we got a lot to get to. I want to go back to Jake Ferguson. I don't think anyone questions how tough of a human being he is. But his statement that I loved at his pain for the knee on Sunday was a 10. Now it's a 0. And he goes, thankfully, it's a little bone bruise. I don't even think it's a grade 1. So even he is trying to downplay the actual physical pain that he's in. Does this lead you to believe that he will play on Sunday? Or do you think cooler heads will prevail and they'll be like, dude, we know you're tough and you could probably play, but maybe we should just wait a week?
I think there's a lot of stuff that needs to be checked out before that decision goes either way. I think he'll continue working with the trainers today, and they'll, along with Nealon, by the way,
yes,
with the calf injury, and then maybe towards the end of practice, they'll see if they're capable of doing anything. This would be the padded practice day of the week, so it's kind of their heavy work day. So I think they'll, you know, reserve the right to see just where they're at. We were able to see both guys doing the rehab work on the cords, and both seem to be moving well. But it's kind of straight line stuff, you know, premeditated steps. So it's not playing football. So we'll see. I mean, I think, you know, the rest of that. When he did kind of a press conference there yesterday in the locker room, it was like, well, you know, got to be smart. We'll see what I can do. If I can play to my standard, then I'll be out there. But if I can't, then there's no sense trying to play football. So I think he was being very realistic about it. So, you know, there's part of me that thinks you could possibly play through the bone bruise pain,
The
MCL, when it gets a little tear in it, it'll let you know that, well, no, you can't really do that. So I think that's going to be the deal that'll most affect his ability to either play or not play.
Mickey, I might be a little more concerned with Nealon than what the plan would be. Because that's a young player who's probably thinking, I got to be out on that field. He might rush it and all that stuff, but I'm a little more concerned with what the plan would be if he can't be out there.
Well, you know, one of the things they used him at, I know he got a bunch of snaps, but it wasn't all at defensive end. They had moved him inside on some nickel pass rush situations too. So I think they've got some guys that can do that. And, you know, at the defensive end spot, you know, if he's not good to go, I don't know if that means Micah Parsons has to play more snaps at a true defensive end. They would have to keep Tyrus Wheat active to take some of those snaps. It'll be interesting to see how they would compensate for him, because I thought for a rookie playing his first game and the number of snaps he played, I thought he played awfully well. I don't, you know, numbers doesn't really matter as much as being active, doing your job, setting the edge, getting pressure where other guys can benefit from what you did on that side of the field. So, that'll be a good one to watch. But again, you know, just judging how both guys were working on the cords, I think that gives you hope. But hope doesn't heal.
Where do we stand with John Stevens, because I know we were just talking about the replacement plan essentially for Marshawn Nealon. The plan in place would, of course, be you would go a Schoonmaker, and McCarthy said he's a jack of all trades. But where is John Stevens and his hamstring?
Yeah, he was still rehabbing, and I don't know that, you know, he was doing a little bit of running, so that was encouraging. But again, you know, he would be more of a receiving threat than a true tight end needing to block. I think, you know, Brevin Spann-Ford would get a bigger role as a true tight end. Okay. And then the other thing that they can do if they didn't bring Princeton Fan off the practice squad is, you know, give Hunter Lipke more snaps and kind of in that H-back role, kind of lining up off the line of scrimmage on the edge of the offensive tackle. And you can, you know, kind of manipulate that loss of one of the tight ends by using him a little bit more, not as a downfield pass threat, but yeah, more of a, you know, from blocking standpoint and doing some things on the edge that you can throw in those little swing passes to try to do something different if you don't have your main threat at tight end.
Well, and then, you know, on their offensive side, Alvin Kamara is that key feature for them. Although Derek Carr looked pretty good throwing the deep ball.
Don't say that. You said you still
Panthers,
don't believe.
The Panthers stink, by the way.
You don't believe in Derek Carr.
The Panthers are terrible. I just saw one play. But, you know, this Clint Kubiak offense is a little bit different to deal with, but it's very similar to kind of, you know, what you're seeing with the Dolphins, what you've seen with the Niners, because that's where that all came from.
Yeah, he's kind of a chip off Shanahan's block. They ran for 180 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got my attention.
And
go ahead.
To go along with that, Kamara, 5 of 5 for catching all of his passes out of the backfield. I know that's a passing yard.
Right.
But like, that obviously feels like an extension of the run game as well.
Well, just get the ball in his hands anywhere you can, right?
Yeah,
and
it
looks like he's healthy. You know, he's dealt with some injury situations the last couple of years. But, boy, when he's healthy, he's a load. And this will be a very good test for this defense because they'll kind of stretch the run game. You know, it's and Mike was talking about you got only so many people to cover only so many gaps. And so it's going to take a pretty good effort with everybody kind of being where they're supposed to be and being able to make plays. But, you know, I keep harping to go back to last year when they got in trouble. It was teams running on them. And I don't know that that was a great test from Cleveland to say, well, you know, if we take away Watson's running yards, which were 39, you would have held the Browns to 54 yards rushing. So that kind of gives you some hope. But I think we got to continue seeing a consistent ability to stop the run against quality teams. And, hey, this is a quality team. You know, they finished the season strong last year. You know, and as
4-1,
Mike McCarthy
right?
Pointed out, you know, 4-1, and then they win this one. So they've won 5 of their last 6 games they were a playoff quality team. They didn't qualify, but they were playing well at the end of the season. So I think this is another good test to see if, you know, they have improved against the run. Unlike last year in the 6 losses, teams ran pretty effectively over them, a couple for more than 200 yards, right? This will be a good one to see how those guys hold up in the middle, and then are you setting the edge? And I think the one thing that maybe I don't know if it got away from a lot of people, but, you know, we see what Parsons did and Overshown and Kendricks, but the game ball, as Mike pointed out today, went to DeMarcus Lawrence. You know, the old hand, boy, he sets the edge and he causes problems on the backside of runs and it's like, okay, you want to double team Parsons on one side? You're going to single block him the whole game? I don't think so. So I think he's really key in this run defense for them to be able to set edges, keep things inside, and then hopefully your linebackers can come in and clean up.
Did you like his little back and forth with the media there, McCarthy, that is, about the logistics of when they give out the game ball and how he feels people were mistaken about how that goes down?
I think I quit taking notes at that point. Sorry.
All right. It still happened. Now, the way you describe this, Mick, and I don't want to simplify this too much, but
yeah.
It kind of feels like the Saints and the Cowboys are both looking at one another to get out the same thing. And that, what I mean by that is, like, the Panthers look like they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. Who knows about the Browns at this point? I feel like the Cowboys and the Saints are looking at each other both and being like, hey, you look like you might be pretty good. Hey, you look like you might be pretty good. Let's see how we match up with that.
I think you're exactly right, and I don't think anybody should take the Saints for granted, right? Like, well, it's the Saints. No, this is going to be a really good test. The way, you know, let's just throw away Carolina. Because
sure.
They did to Carolina what you should do if you're
sure.
a good team,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You just pounded them.
Yep. And
scored 47 points.
That's the most in the NFL, yeah.
Right? And so, and I would imagine the 180 yards rushing probably number one also. I'm just guessing. I didn't
I
look at
it. I could see that. I didn't look that up either. I'm
That's
sorry.
A lot, though, right?
Yes, yes.
So, I just think what the Cowboys need to worry about is themselves, how they play. And then, you know, maybe that takes care of business because, you know, teams are going to come in with strengths just like the Saints are going to if they're not waterlogged, right?
Yeah, so we talked with
the coaching staff stayed at the facility.
They had a slumber party, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, which is what we were trying to do for the stadiums around here. The other thing we did learn is it looks like they're pretty confident in Marshawn Lattimore, which obviously if you're a Saints fan or the organization, you have to be excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. If they can, you know, he didn't practice. It's a hamstring. So those are, you know, sometimes you just kind of let it, well, okay, let's see what we, you know, can get him to the game. Maybe not practice a lot. But
sure.
just get them to Sunday. You know, one of the things on their offensive line, you know, their starting guard, Lucas Patrick, had a toe injury, and he didn't practice. And their rookie left tackle was limited with a back. I'll try and do it. Talese Fuaga.
Yeah, there you go.
I think it's Talese Fuaga.
All right.
But you're pretty close.
I'll take you on that.
Yeah.
I was paid to correctly type their names, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Sure. Fair.
But,
well,
you know, so it's two rookie left tackles,
yeah.
you know, in the game.
I am absolutely excited about that.
So it'll be interesting how tough their offensive line is. I think from, you know, what I was researching that, you know, they were questioned pretty heavily in the offseason. Like, whoa, I don't know about this offensive line, but, you know, they did a good job the first game. Now we'll see against this Cowboy defense. But I think that's maybe going to be the key to this game, not to give away, you know, keys to the game already, but how well the Cowboys defensive front plays against that offensive line of the Saints that did a good job the first game but really weren't tested.
Just as long as you're ready with that prediction tomorrow, Mick, we'll be good to go. Thank you very
thanks
much.
Thanks for the reminder. I'll put
there
it on my to-do
you
list.
Go.
He's gonna go home and just think about it all night.
That's
and
all
probably
I'm
wake up
for.
At 3 a.m. Oh, now what's that score?
You can text us then. All right. Thank you very much, Mick. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
Have a good day.